It's time for our A Healthier Michigan from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. And today, fit for every phase, finding the perfect workout at any age. Dr. Peter Graham joining us, Chief Medical Officer at the Blue Care Network. And Dr. Graham, what does aging affect the type of exercise we should be doing? How does that impact it?
Yeah, that's a great question, Lucy. And as somebody getting within hailing distance of 60 myself, I'm pretty acutely aware of this when I'm living it. So a couple things to think about. Your body changes over time, right? We're pretty aware of that as we're children and adolescents and into adulthood. But what we don't realize is gradually over time, things like losing muscle mass, change in balance, change in a couple of other bits about like cardiovascular capacity, changes how we need to approach exercise. And for a lot of us, other things that have come up with our health over the years change how we should exercise. So you definitely need to exercise, and we'll get into more detail about that in a second. There are some very good reasons to do that, but the way you exercise needs to change. Obviously, you don't do the same things you did when you were a kid, or you don't do the same things you did when you were an adolescent. A lot of us have discovered, if you go out and try to exercise like you're 20, I hate to tell you, unless you're 20, your body is not going to do what you're used to it doing back then, or you thought it should.
So, and unfortunately, Dr. Graham, I think that people that haven't exercised in a while, that's what they remember. They remember how they did it when they were in their 20s or 30s. And once you get into your 60s, you just go back to that and thinking you can do it. And that's where you've got problems.
Correct. Yeah. In your 20s, you could wake up a morning and think, hey, I'm going to go run a 5K today. And you could probably get away with it. You might get away with it at 60, but you're going to pay for it later in some other way. So yeah, very, very different experience.
So I understand there are actually steps people need to take to assess their fitness level and physical abilities before they start a new workout routine. What are those steps?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I generally highlight three things, depending on how you look at it. First, a little framing, the current recommendations from the Centers for Disease Control are that people over 65 get about 150 minutes of moderate intensity aerobic activity every week, in addition to strength training of some kind and balance work of some kind. So those are the things you're aiming for. So with that in mind, you can imagine if you're kind of starting from zero, and particularly if you've been sedentary for a long, long time or have had some other health issues come up, you're going to have to consider how you do that. And I know 150 minutes sounds kind of daunting, but that's just a little over 20 minutes a day if you pace it out.
Well, that's a good point. I like it that way. Do it in chunks.
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to go, you can go out and do it in one 150-minute chunk, but it actually is more impactful and more helpful to do it spread over time. So a couple of things to think about. If you have been somebody who's been very sedentary, and we all kind of drift into couch potato mode from time to time, winter in Michigan really does that for a lot of us, me included. I really don't like going outside a lot when it's really, really cold or icy. Some people have really gone a long, long time without it. So you've got to think about, what are your limitations physically? What are the things that might slow you down or cause a repeat or worsening of existing injuries? So if you've had any injuries, obviously, this is something you're going to want to discuss with your own physician and make sure you understand what is okay, what you need to be careful about, what kinds of things you need to do. If you have chronic illnesses of any kind, particularly any kind of heart or lung problem, really need to talk to your doctor beforehand, and that's just an important safety issue. If you have something like diabetes, exercise is really good for people with diabetes, but you have to be very mindful of what impact exercise will have on blood sugar. So again, a good conversation to have with your doctor before you start diving into this stuff, just to make sure you can accommodate it correctly. A lot of things are about accommodations. This is really kind of the third thing. So you may not, like I said, you may not be able to do what you did when you were 20, but there are other things you can do. So, thinking through those and making sure you map those out before you start diving in, because you're more likely to continue if you're successful in what you set out to do.
We're talking to Dr. Peter Graham, Chief Medical Officer at the Blue Care Network. Dr. Graham, what is it about balance that seems to go out the window as we age? I find it hard to stay upright on my two feet more so than ever before. Why is that?
Well, if I can make you feel better about that in the short run, you're really normal.
Okay.
I would never ask you your age, but I'm guessing. And
I'll be 65 this year. So, yeah, I'm right what you're talking about.
We're both, children of the 70s.
Yeah.
So I get it. A couple things begin to happen over time. It's what we term multifactorial medicine, that there's several causes of it. It's everything from, you know, our inner ear, begin to have more inner ear problems. There are a whole category of those. I won't go into all of them. Huh. Eyesight gets a little less acute, which has a big impact on how we are able to see and navigate terrain. Muscle strength changes. So that includes your last base, what we call proprioceptive sense. And last but not least, your cerebellum, which is a region of the brain that kind of helps with balance. It begins to get a little less sharp over time. So we all begin to get a little more wobbly. You know, we might have been able to walk a tightrope when we were 12, but we sure as heck can't do that today. But the good news is almost all of those things you can't make them go back to 20, but you can certainly improve them with the right kind of focused activity.
Okay, so how can you improve them? Because that's a lot going on there for someone in their 60s and up.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, just staying basically active is one of the most helpful things you can do. So, you know, moving on a regular basis really does help retrain or reawaken those parts of your brain that help you with balance and proprioception. There are very specific things like balance boards, balance balls, things that, you know, very specific exercises that help with that, exercising certain regions or strengthening certain regions of your body, you know, particularly for people as they age and particularly people who have done sedentary work. And that's almost 70% of us these days, 80%, depending on how you slice it, you know, sitting at a desk, looking at a computer all day long, re-strengthening your glutes and the posterior capsule of your hips, your legs. And last but not least, you know, making sure inner ear stuff that is avoidable. There are also potentially some medications and other things, other habits that can interfere with that. So, having a conversation with your doctor, if you're experiencing balance problems in non-prescription meds, that's a good place to start, because sometimes it's the medications that might need to be adjusted.
Oh, that's interesting. So, Dr. Graham, let's help everyone out here, me included, on maybe some low impact workouts. Where's a good place to start?
That's a really great question. And just to ground people on what low impact means, one of the more common issues for people in their 60s, 50s, 60s, and beyond is joint pain, arthritis, osteoarthritis, not rheumatoid arthritis. It's very, very common. I just had a lifetime working on your joints, so they tend to get a little stiff and a little sore. Now, ironically, one of the better ways to help them feel better is get up and move. So you want to make sure you're exercising. Actually, people with arthritis need to exercise more, not less. But how you do it matters. And what we call high impact, if you think about it, like running is probably the greatest example. Every time you stride, you're lifting both feet off the ground at some period of time in that stride. When you come down on that leading foot, pretty much your entire body weight is coming down on the foot, and a good portion on the ankle and knee on that side. And proportionally a bit on the hip as well. And over time, that jarring from our impact, as we call it, can certainly be uncomfortable. And for a lot of people who aren't accustomed to it, it's going to be discouraging because you're not going to feel good. And it can also lead to injury. So the alternate is what we call low impact. And probably the best shorthand version to think about this is if it's something that at least at any given point in time, you have one foot on the ground. And if you kind of frame it up that way, it becomes easier to sort of intuit what are the things that are low impact or where you're completely unloading your body weight entirely, like swimming. Swimming is probably the ultimate low impact because you're not, you know, water, you float, and, you know, you just assuming you know how to swim. So what we encourage people to do is think about things that you can do where you can not, kind of constantly be jarring yourself like that. Some examples, great examples, walking, vigorous walking is pretty good. Hiking on trails, at least when it's not, you know, still pseudo spring out there, and it's actually warmed up a bit. It's really nice in Michigan to be outside. We've got some beautiful places to walk outdoors. Swimming, as I mentioned, rowing, canoeing, hiking, canoeing, kayaking. Golfing, if you walk, and I know it's hard these days, a lot of courses won't let you not take a cart. So if you find the ones that are willing to let you walk, you know, 9 holes walking is actually a pretty good workout. Bike riding, great one. A lot of people like that. Gardening, you know, we tend to not think of that one. There are a lot of people, particularly as it's kind of like bird watching, gardening. We all seem to get into that when we get in our 50s and 60s.
We do.
It's just in the water or something, but it's actually pretty good exercise. And, you know, you spend the better part of half the day out puttering around in your yard and planting flowers and doing all that kind of stuff, stooping, bending, lifting. and moving around, that's cumulative exercise. And, you know, you're getting a little bit of a sweat and a little bit of breathless at some point. So that's a good low impact exercise. So those are the things that kind of point to for folks to think about with low impact.
And
go ahead.
I was just going to say, and you want to make it enjoyable. And when I think about something you love to do, like gardening or any of those kinds of activities, it's something that you don't think of as exercise, but you're actually getting exercise from it. So you're more likely to stick with it, right?
Bingo. And, you know, it's kind of, if I can tie up one last point from the low impact. Low impact doesn't mean low intensity, by the way. You can get a pretty high intensity workout doing low impact activity. It's really about, you know, are you sweating? Are you a little short of breath? Is your heart rate up? Are you at your target heart rate? Also a great place where Fitbits and smartwatches help. But anyway, yeah, your question about, you know, if you look at what discriminates whether people will continue to exercise or not, it's, do they like what they're doing? Does it feel good? Do they have a good time doing it? There are two things I'd really think about there. You know, one is, again, is the activity something you're comfortable with? You feel okay when you're doing it? You know, you may get a little breathy, a little sweaty, all that good stuff, but you're not in pain. You know, if you're in pain, you really should stop doing what you're doing. That's a sign not to do it. So find things that, you know, physically enjoy, but also things that you psychologically enjoy. There are some people who really like doing things with groups, and it's a great opportunity. Again, this is a nice twofer with particularly people in their 60s. A lot of that, you know, physical activity can be very social. So like, you know, Tai Chi class or over 60 sports leagues are fantastic. I've got a good friend and colleague who's in an over 60 hockey league. I kind of joke with them that I'm surprised they don't have like orthopedists lining up on the side there waiting to help them all out. But they have a great time, and it's as much about the fellowship as it is about the exercise. You know, they get to see each other all the time. They get to have conversation. They have a really good time at the end of this company. Conversely, there's some people who really like, I'm kind of one of these, I like being by myself. I like to have time to think. You know, I put on a podcast, listen to it, go out and do things, and just I retain and do better. Whatever works for you is better than, you know, the internet is going to flood you with, you have to do X, and most of it is not well researched. And frankly, the exercise you will actually do is far better than the perfect one you didn't do.
Yeah. So know yourself, know whether which situation might work best for you. I like the group thing because it holds you accountable to going when you can make all sorts of excuses for not getting up out of that chair.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wonderful. You're an inspiration today. Thank you so much. Fit for every phase, finding the perfect workout at any age with Dr. Peter Graham, Chief Medical Officer at Blue Care Network. For more great advice, go online to Blue Cross's site. It's ahealthiermichigan.org. Lots of recipes up there. Lots of great health information. ahealthiermichigan.org. Thank you so much, Dr. Graham. We'll see you out there working out, and we'll do it safely.
Thanks.
Take care. You're listening to Ann Arbor's Talk Station, 1290 WLBY.